And I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Wherever we are in the Christian walk, whether personally or collectively, there is a psalm. There's many psalms that deal with the condition that we are in. In the Christian pilgrimage, there are times where we do soar on eagle's wings. There are times when we are seriously struggling. There are times when we are suffering, when our flesh fails. There are times when there's loss and grief. There are times when the Satan's fiery darts come flying at us. There are times of temptation. There are times when our minds struggle to grasp all that is going on around us. There are times when we fall. When we fall into sin. There are times when the Lord graciously strengthens us and empowers us to do His will. There are times when we specifically need to know the Lord's will for our life, some particular direction. And we need to be led by God. I could go on and labour the point even more. But God knows every situation here. God knows you personally, collectively. He knows everything about you. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows exactly what you need when you need it. And King David, being the author, writes this psalm from the depths of his heart. And he writes from the depth of his heart to express the very confidence that he has in his Lord. That his Lord has and is able to care for him. He's experienced in it in his own life. He knows something of the depth to the Lord leading him throughout his life and his care for David. The Lord has provided David with grace upon grace, mercy upon mercy throughout the course of his life, despite David's sin. Despite his weaknesses, despite his failures, the Lord was ever so gracious to David. As the Lord's grace, his unmerited favour, is bestowed upon him continually. Through the ups and the downs of life, David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd." And throughout your life, you will be able to testify of the goodness of the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. David pictures the Lord as his true shepherd. And so the title of this message is very simple. The Lord is my shepherd. Firstly, I want us to see that the Lord God Almighty is a personal caring shepherd. In verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In verse 1, David expresses that the Lord is my shepherd. God is indeed his shepherd. And notice David is not speaking broadly. He says, my shepherd. It's personal. He has a deep felt knowledge, and that's why he can say, he's my shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's not dad's shepherd. He's not mum's shepherd. He's not the pastor's shepherd. But he says he's my shepherd. His own personal shepherd. It's so known in his inner man that the only way that David can express how good the Lord has been in his life is to describe it in metaphoric language. David uses the word shepherd, but why? What is it that David sees in a shepherd that he sees in his God? Well, we know that David was a shepherd himself. In 1 Samuel 16 verse 11 it says, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. A shepherd in a nutshell keeps sheep. And David is coming from a personal experience as a shepherd. And so from this metaphor, David will now go on to use his role of a shepherd to describe his great shepherd. But David, in his humility, is not now the shepherd, and he recognizes that himself is the actual sheep, though he was also a king. But he recognizes he is a sheep under the mighty shepherd of God. God is the mighty shepherd. And we need to look at this psalm from a perspective as a sheep in God's fold. We need to look and see that this good shepherd, what he has done and is doing in our lives. But who was it that said, I am the good shepherd? It is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. He's the good shepherd. Why? Well, he said, didn't he? I lay down my life for my sheep. Can we say he's good personally? Because in my place, he bore the wrath of God. He became my substitute on the cross and set me free from the bondage of sin and rescued me from eternal destruction in hell. Is he your shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? You see, this psalm is only comforting if he is your personal shepherd. That you know deeply in your heart that your sins have been washed and cleansed. That you've been given a new heart, that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. That there was a time in your life when you were born again of God the Holy Spirit. And the Lord had given you the very gifts of repentance and faith. There was a time when you were convicted of sin. And you were drawn to the cross of Christ. And you saw your Saviour bleeding and dying, as it were. That he went to the cross and paid for all your sin, all your guilt, all your unworthiness. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can only say, my shepherd, if he's your Saviour, is my Saviour, that he has called you to eternal life. Can you say it? Can you testify? Can you say, The Lord has saved me. The Lord has saved me, a wretch, a sinner. Oh, was there a time in your life when you cried out, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner? He was that great shepherd who went to the cross. And he was afflicted. The pain that he endured was the pain that me and you so deserved. The one who knew no sin. It was my sin, your sin, that was upon him at the cross. And there we see the love of Christ, the great shepherd, bearing the punishment, laying down his life for his sheep. Is he your shepherd? You will only glean from this wonderful psalm if you know what it means to behold your Saviour, to believe upon the Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. For David knew this. David knew this. And he says, he's my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. I shall not want. Just as sheep who are under the care and responsibility of a shepherd, the Lord, the good shepherd, will care in such a way that David will not be lacking or be in want. David knows that the Lord is sufficient for him in order to provide for him in every way according to the need, spiritually and materially. If me and you were left to our own devices in order to provide for ourselves, we would be like sheep. We fail in many areas because sheep have needs and can't defend and supply themselves because they are in need of a shepherd. So David knows in his heart he has been the recipient of God's abundant provision. He has been a recipient of God's grace that has been poured out upon him, and it leaves him in a contentment. Not lacking or wanting. Because God Almighty, as a shepherd who is over his sheep throughout the day, throughout the night, is watching over our souls, protecting, providing, and preserving his flock to the end. And as a believer this morning, can you say, I shall not want? I shall not want? Can you say, it is well with my soul? In whatever state you find yourself in today, can you say, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content? Can you say with Paul, godliness with contentment is great gain? Can you say, the Lord has been a good shepherd to me? Because I lack nothing. I lack nothing. I have everything in Christ Jesus. I am satisfied with my Saviour. You might not have what you want. You might not have the things you may desire. But what you do have in Christ is every spiritual blessing. You have eternal life. And he is the one who's provided everything, spiritually, materially, in your life. And yet sometimes in our own hearts, don't we? We say, but I need it. But actually sometimes we don't need what we think we need. If God doesn't give it to you, you don't actually need it. He's promised to give you what you need in order to do his will. Out of God's goodness, he chooses what we need even if he withholds us from something perfectly good. Perfectly good. He may withhold something from us that others may have, but for me, for you, if that's not my will for you. And we learn these things, don't we, in life. And experimentally we come once again and we have to echo those words, I shall not want before the Lord, because he's been ever so gracious to us. Oh, he goes on and says, doesn't he? He makes me lay down in green pastures. Inside that relationship, from a sheep's perspective, sheep can be unrestful, can't they? Sheep are unrestful by nature. Their nature can be anxiousness, fear. They're fearful creatures. They find themselves in panic and are agitated and vulnerable, especially when predators are lurking. But David says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. And we may think of the green Sussex hills when we think of green pastures. But in a lot of instances, for David, that wasn't the case in the Judean hills. A lot of the time they were dry and dusty, and grass was rare. But at night the Mediterranean winds would blow across the hills and the grass would come up enough to feed the sheep. But it would only sprout up in small clusters, as it were. And the shepherd's job was to guide the sheep to these small clusters of green grass. God indeed can make his children restful. He makes me and you restful. He can make the inner man or the inner woman be at rest. That's what it means to lie down. Sheep lie down when they've been fed. And when we are fed by his word. When God feeds us with his word. And as he feeds us his word, we experience that rest in Christ. We experience that contentment, that satisfaction in God as he feeds us the imperishable seed. The word of God, when it's applied by the Holy Spirit, takes fears away and calms the anxious heart, and the anxious heart becomes restful. And the word of God is food for our souls, and it nourishes our souls. The word lives and abides forever. And when the incorruptible seed is planted in our souls, it brings new life, everlasting life. And it's sufficient to grow us by grace. And to know Christ more and more deeper. Can you say, he has fed me. He has fed me his word. Can you say that his word has satisfied your soul in times of difficulty, times of anxiousness, times of fear, times of struggling? Can you testify that the Lord has made me restful, and it's the word of God that comforts in the power of the Holy Spirit? What a blessing it is, from time to time in our lives and our pilgrimage, when something comes up in our life that's so distressing, the Lord speaks to us his word and gives us that great comfort. And he makes us lie down in green pastures. And we can be at rest. Well, David says, he leads me beside still waters. It echoes the picture of tranquility, doesn't it? Sheep need to drink water to stay alive. But it's difficult to drink from raging waters. Sheep would be in sheer fright of fast flowing currents. The currents needed to be stilled in order for the sheep to be filled. So the shepherd's job was to lead the sheep to still waters, to take the sheep away from the fast flowing current to still waters. And this is the Lord who ceases the storm and leads and guides his people beside still waters to drink of his mercy and grace. Even in the storm, even when we are in the storm, and even when the Lord doesn't take away the storm, he can give peace, a subjective peace of the Lord that we know and we feel. So look, the Lord leads David beside still waters. David can say in his own personal life, in his heart, that there's a tranquility of soul, peace within, because he's been led by God, his great caring shepherd over him. Are you at peace this morning? If you're not, oh, ask the Lord that he'd lead you by still waters. Oh, Lord, that he'd speak a word of comfort to you, that he'd touch your soul. Oh, he leads us by still waters. Oh, he goes on in verse 3. He says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. Meaning the restoration of straying sheep. As by nature, they would wander around. They would stray. Like us. How often it is like us when we have strayed away from God. Strayed away from his ways. Gone our own pathway. A pathway where we think we're right, but actually we're wrong. We've gone on a different direction, and we've pursued a pathway of sin, and we've rejected the word of God. We've gone ways that the Lord has not permitted us to walk into. We've followed our own heart and not the will of the Lord. We've gone astray. Maybe you have gone astray. Maybe you're backslidden. And you need restoring. Your heart needs repairing. It needs to be brought back to what it ought to be in Christ Jesus. The Lord goes after that one sheep. It's that picture, that parable in Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. In verse 4 it says, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sheep who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. The Lord goes after the straying sheep. David experienced this, doesn't he, in his own life. Many times. He was a man of God's own heart. But David fell into sin. Grievous sin. But the Lord went after him, didn't he? The Lord went after him. David knew what it meant for the Lord to restore his soul and bring him back. And what happened in David's life when he committed adultery with Bathsheba? And how did the Lord bring him back? How did he bring him back? He sent a man to him, didn't he? Nathan. He sent Nathan to him. And what did he say to him? Thou art the man. Thou art the man. And there David felt and knew his own personal sin. It brought David to repentance. And Nathan comforts him and says that the Lord has forgiven you. And brothers and sisters, the Lord, if you're one of his, when we sin, he loves you so much that he cannot see one of his sheep go down a hill, a sinful hill, decline forever. He rescues straying sheep. What a blessing it is that the Lord doesn't leave us to our own devices. But he comes after us. He comes after us. You think about Peter when he was restored. Oh, he denied Christ 3 times. And there, in John 21, he was asked a question, not once, not twice, but 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And what did he say? Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Tend to my lambs. Peter being restored. God could have left him, but he didn't. This is the gracious care of our Lord. He restores a straying sheep. And it's for his name's sake. Well, he says, doesn't he? He moves on. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We've mentioned the sheep have tendencies to wander. They move around as they please. They don't seem to have much direction, do they? And sometimes they find themselves in trouble. And they need leading on the right pathway from danger. And the Lord never leave, never leads us in paths of unrighteousness. The Lord never does that. Our sinful natures do that. And the work of the devil. You see, the Lord leads us in pathways that reflect his own character and will. And then the Lord leads us by his word. And in his spirit. And we are called to follow him wherever the scriptures will lead us. If the scriptures call us to go this way, we go this way. If the scriptures forbid us from going a certain direction, we don't go. But we follow the Lord in paths of righteousness. And notice the text where it says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. It is God, all of God's grace. He leads me in paths of righteousness. It is God that leads you. It is God who leads you. And what a blessing it is for the Lord to lead us. Lead us in the right path. How many of us, if you were left totally to yourselves, totally to your own devices, restraint would be lifted from you? How many of us would go down a wicked pathway? All of us. All of us. But his grace leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness in every direction of life. Throughout the whole course of your life, in your work life, in your family life, in the church, your personal walk with Christ, he leads us in paths of righteousness. The question comes, are you following his leading? Are you holding back from following him in the path of righteousness? How does he lead? We've already said it, he leads by his word. He leads by his word. And the question is, do you take counsel from your Saviour? Do you come to him by prayer and say, Lord, I need leading. Lead me in paths of righteousness in this situation, in this will that you have given to me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. Well, he goes on and he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David, in verse 4, expresses times when, like sheep, find themselves in actually dangerous positions, dangerous times. Times that show the reality of impending death. As a shepherd would lead his sheep from one pasture to another pasture, there would be a journey, obviously. And that journey may have been dangerous. There have been difficult terrain, sheer cliffs where sheep could fall. And it would indicate possible death for a sheep, as a sheep would lose its footing and fall. And dear friend, beloved, there will be times in our pathway when we will have to walk in this valley, in this valley. But notice it's the shadow of death. The shadow of death. And Spurgeon said this, death in its substance has been removed. And only the shadow of it remains. We one day will die. We will die. But for the saint who is trusting the Christ by faith, death is the very steward that leads us to glory, that carries us to glory. We will all have to walk that pathway. But it is just a steward It is just the steward that leads us to Saviour, to the Saviour. There will be times in our lives when we will be in that shadow. And the Lord is able to walk us through it in righteousness. We may experience times when we're actually close to die. But we may not at that particular time. But he may keep us here to carry on in doing his will. And Paul knew something of that, didn't he? As he pondered and thought about his own reality, as he was imprisoned, facing impending death, and the possibility of it, what did he say? For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? Gain. You see, throughout Paul's life, he faced the shadow of death. But there was a time when he did die and go to be with his glorious Saviour, his good shepherd, who would speak those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Whatever the circumstance and the will of the Lord, we can say, "I will fear no evil, because the great shepherd is keeping us." He says, "For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David knows in the depths of his heart that God Almighty is with him, because he knows the comfort of the Lord. And the comfort is pictured by here by the rod and the staff. The shepherd's rod was about 2 foot long, made out of oak. And it was used to defend and protect sheep from wild animals, and leading the sheep in correct direction. And the staff was the shepherd's crook. At one end, the staff was bent over, and it was used to get sheep out of difficult circumstances, such as removing sheep from the thicket, trapped by rocks or branches, pulling them out of holes in the pathway. And not to mention the snakes that would have been around. And David knew many dangers in his life, especially those who were against him. And David is saying, "I know the comfort of my Lord, because I know he cares for me and will protect me in the dangers that are at hand." The Lord has promised that he will remove the obstacle, that we will have opposition in this life, persecution. We will go through many dangers. But in the danger, the Lord is there in the midst with us, upholding us, caring for us, empowering us to endure whatever he has permitted to come in our life. So the rod and the staff, they comfort him. In the valley of the shadow of death, the Lord has given him direction, protecting him from any kind of fear that may be coming. What a blessing it is, the God of the universe, the creator and sustainer of heaven and earth, is with me. Is with me. What did Christ say? He said, Jesus said, "Lo, for I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He is with us. He has promised to be with us. The time is gone, but I'll just mention a few things as we draw to a close. And it's secondly, the caring host who serves. And in verses 5 to 6, David moves from that shepherd imagery to God being the good host. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies and anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Notice it's not David serving the Lord. It is the Lord serving David. The goodness of the shepherd. Can you see it? The Lord is serving a sinner. A good host makes preparations in order to keep the guests pleased and satisfied. The table the Lord has prepared for David is full. And as he served David, even in the midst of his enemies, look, can you see it? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Who's round the banquet dining table? Even his enemies. His enemies are permitted to be near him, around him. And so too it is with me and you. We will have those who are against us, around us, who have been permitted in our lives to cause us grief. It's there to humble us. It's there for us to sought the Lord, to trust him more and more. These enemies can be in our lives, maybe in our families, maybe even in the local church, false brethren. David experienced this in his own family. He experienced this with his own son. And that's why he had to go to the Lord, and that's why he had to say, cast your burden on the Lord. Because he had been betrayed. And it's often we're betrayed by our very close ones. But here, the Lord, in the midst of his enemies, anoints his head with oil, and his cup runs over. His cup runs over. And we have the Holy Spirit that is with us. And what a great comfort it is that we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within and gives us the strength to keep going on and to keep going on. And it's an abundance, isn't it? He said, my cup runs over. It's not half a cup. So much of God's grace is abundant. It runs over. It's supplying abundantly. And so, David experiences this. He knows it. He says, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The confidence that David has in his Lord is truly remarkable. Especially what he went through in his life. David has a confidence, knowing that the covenant-keeping God will be with him in all circumstances of life. Every day of his life, David experienced God's goodness, his mercy toward him. And his response in this song is to dwell in the house forever. Forever he will be with his Saviour. And for me and you, we will be forever with him. He's with us now. He cannot lie. He will preserve us to the end. And he will carry us through where you will be in his presence, in glory, forevermore. So we can be assured today, if you're in Christ, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. You've been called by his grace. And he will preserve us to the end. And what does this ultimately say of this testimony of David? that we can trust him. We can trust the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, for all of our pilgrimage. So I leave you with these things, and may the Lord bless these things to you. But if anyone here does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Saviour, I urge you to come to Christ. He said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Come with just your sin. Come to him who paid that great price, who became a substitute on the cross, who paid for your sins, who shed his own heart's blood, who endured the wrath of God so you don't have to. Would you come and call upon him? Call upon his name. Call upon him. For whoever believes upon him shall be saved. Amen.